book of Acts chapter number 4. And we're going to deviate this morning from where we've been preaching from for a month or more in the book of Joshua, but just felt led of the Lord to go this direction this morning. Let me amplify and remind you while you turn into Acts chapter 4 that the Cherokee County camp meeting is starting tonight, as Brother Jackie mentioned, and I know the temperature has been hot and all of that, and it's an outdoor meeting, but tonight it'll be 7:30 when it starts. The sun will be going down. It won't be too bad, but even if it's hot, real hot, Morning Star Baptist Church has always been a faithful crowd over there, and this is not something really outside of our church. This is where churches of like faith and like doctrine gather together one time a year to have old-fashioned camp meeting. And we don't ask you to go do something like this often, but I really, really hope you will do your dead level best to be there each and every service. You won't find better preaching this side of heaven, I promise you. Brother Barry Rackley is a dear, dear friend of mine and just one of the best preachers walking in shoe leather. And Brother Larry Winkler as well. Just don't get any better. And so I hope you'll be there. I also want to say thank you to the men who showed up at the work day yesterday morning. And that was a blessing. We had a good crowd show up. For those of you that didn't make it, we missed you, but we got it done in a timely fashion. Wasn't bad at all because we had so many come. And so thank you for coming. Acts chapter number 4 in your Bible. Let's stand together. Well, actually, stay seated. Stay seated because I got a good bit of scripture to read. And let's begin in verse number 1. Acts chapter 4, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now evening tide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. 5,000 men saved. Wouldn't you like to have witnessed that? 5,000 men walked forward and gave their heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what mean he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Let me just pause there for a moment and say, when Jesus does something miraculous, saving a drunkard and delivering them, saving a drug addict or a prostitute or a woman of ill repute, or fill in the blank, and they are radically changed, there's no denying that. I mean, we can preach and we can witness and we can talk to the world and try to convince them that Jesus loves them and God loves them. But there's no better message than for people to see the undeniable fact that somebody has been radically changed. And the Bible said they could say nothing against it because the reality was staring them in the face. This impotent man was standing there in front of them. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For they indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, 'Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?' The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of that holy child, Jesus." I want to preach this morning on the subject, Jesus, the sweetest name I know. The name Jesus is mentioned over 1,000 times in the New Testament. There's only 260 chapters in your New Testament in those 27 books. And if you was to break that down and average that out, it would equal up to about 4 times per chapter in your New Testament that the name Jesus is mentioned or referred to. You would just, in essence, read Jesus, 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 because that's what this Bible is all about. He is the theme. He is the main pinnacle and person of the entire Word of God. And truly, if you're saved, Jesus is the sweetest name you know. I'm glad I was taught as a child that song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong." Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Boy, thank God for Jesus. This Bible is all about Him. It's all about Him. Even, it was said one time, you'll find Jesus on every page of the Bible. And if you happen to find the page He's not on, flip to the next page and you'll find Him twice. That's right, because He is the theme of the Word. Listen, I didn't come this morning to teach or preach about Moses or about the Apostle Paul. And it's not about Moses. It's not about Paul. It's not about John the Baptist or John the Revelator. It's not about even any of the prophets. This book I hold in my hand is all about Jesus. From the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it's all about Jesus. From start to finish and everywhere in between, whether by name or by type or by shadow, it's Jesus. He's the greatest theme. He's the greatest subject. He's the greatest sermon. He's the greatest theology. He's the greatest psalm. He's the greatest song that we could ever sing about. And there's nobody or nothing greater in the Word of God or in this life. There's nobody greater in heaven or in hell than the lovely Lord Jesus. It's all about Him. Everything we do is because of Jesus. Everything we know because of Jesus. All the joy that we experience and have is because of Jesus. All the peace that floods our soul and that passes all understanding is all because of Jesus. It's all the songs that we sing here at church is because of Jesus. All the righteousness that we have was imputed to us because of Jesus and by Jesus. All the blessings, any blessing you have, is directly linked to Jesus. The hell that I'm not going to is because of Jesus. The heaven that I will go to is all because of Jesus. I'm simply trying to say it's all about Him. And let me say before I go any further, if any baseball game or football game or big bass you have caught or big buck you have killed or hole-in-one you've hit or fill in the blank excites you more than the Lord Jesus does, then your priorities are out of whack. Jesus should be the most exciting, exuberating thing, the thing that brings you a thrill, I mean the most joy. Jesus should be at the very zenith of your heart and of mine. If it was not for Jesus, we would be lost without God and on our way to a devil's hell if we wouldn't already be there this morning. We would be without hope and without help, still in our sin. But thank God, Jesus left His celestial city and home in heaven and came to a sin-cursed world and laid hold of a holy God and reached forth and grabbed a hold of wicked, ungodly mankind and brought them together by the power of reconciliation and of justification. Amen. Only Jesus could do that. And He did. We did not pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps or pick ourselves up out of our wickedness. No, my friend, Jesus came, and the Bible said in the book of Isaiah that He came to that horrible pit and lifted us out and put our feet upon a rock and established our goings and put a new song in our mouths. Listen, it's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. It wasn't a Baptist or a Methodist, a Presbyterian or a Catholic or any other religious group. It wasn't a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, church or anyone else or anything else. But if you want to know who pulled you out of that horrible pit, I'm here to tell you and remind you this morning, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Boy, if we could grab hold of that this morning, it'd fix a lot of our quarreling and bickering. We a lot of times in the Baptist church especially, and no, ours is no different. We get to the mentality and the thought, this is mine and this is about me, and I've been here the longest and I've done more and I've give more. And listen to me, let me say something to all of us. I don't care if you've been here 6 months or 60 years or however long the church is. Listen, this ain't yours. This ain't about you. It's not about your family. Brother Jackie mentioned Heritage Day. I began that with the purpose of giving honor where honor is due. I'm far honoring the life and ministry and heritage of Andrew Kerrigan. But this wasn't Andrew Kerrigan's church. Matter of fact, this wasn't about Andrew Kerrigan. This is not about Michael Rochester. This ain't about Brother Jackie Kerrigan. This ain't about you. It ain't about you and your family. Do we love you? Absolutely. Do we care about you? Sure we do. But this ain't about you. And it ain't about me. This is about Him. That in all things He would have the preeminence. And the quicker we get that mentality, that terrible, cancerous mentality out of our mind that this is about me and this is mine and I have a right, the better we'll be. This is His. He, last I checked, none of us bought this with our own blood. He did. It's all about Him. I'm trying to say it's all about Jesus. Listen to the artist. He's the altogether lovely one. To the architect, He's the chief cornerstone. To the baker, He's the bread of life. To the banker, He's the hidden treasure. To the farmer, He's the Lord of the harvest. To the archaeologist, He's the rock of ages. To the biologist, He is the life. To the builder, He is the sure foundation. To the carpenter, He's the door. To the doctor, He's the great physician. To the jury, He's the faithful and true witness. To the educator, He's the great teacher. To the engineer, He is the new and living way. To the florist, He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the zoologist, He is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and He is the Lamb of God. To the judge, He's the righteous judge. To the jeweler, He is the pearl. To the jeweler, He is the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, He's the counselor and advocate. To the newspaper, He is the good tidings of great joy. To the philanthropist, He is the unspeakable gift. To the philosopher, He is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, He's the word of God. To the sculptor, He's the living stone. To the servant, He's the good master. To the lost, He is the way. And to the lonely, He's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. It's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. And to the sinner, He's the Savior. I'm trying to say it's all Jesus. There's just something about that name, Jesus. We honor, and rightfully so, our founding fathers. I preached on it just here a while back, and we honor our military, and if you serve, God bless you, and we're grateful. However, listen, those founding fathers our military were willing to leave their homes and leave their families, and they were willing to go and lose limb and lose their life and shed their blood for something bigger than them. They were willing to do it to gain freedom and to provide liberty to a country, the birthing of a nation. And oh, how grateful we are. But listen, it ain't about the military. I didn't come to preach about our founding fathers this morning. However, I did come to preach about one who done way greater than them. He left His home. He forsook His celestial home, where there was never a moment that the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims wasn't crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And He left that and come down to this wicked world where He'd be spat upon, ridiculed, mocked, and ultimately crucified and killed for me and for you. Yeah. And I'd say it's Him and Him alone who deserves the glory and the honor. He's worth praising. He's worth worshiping. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through He, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." What about Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11? "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Amen. You've heard that saying, all gave some, but some gave all. Nobody ever gave more, sacrificed more than Jesus. He gave everything when He didn't have to. I'm simply saying there's something precious, powerful about that name, the lovely name of Jesus. I got just three or four quick truths I want to give you, and we'll be done. I won't keep you long. I want to say, number one, it's an exclusive name. Look at, again, at verse 12. It's an exclusive name. "Neither is there salvation in any other." Exclusive. There is not another name that can deliver you from your sin. There's not another person. There's not another name. The Bible said, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He's in a category all alone. It's an exclusive category. There's none in it but Him. The Bible said in Acts 4:2, same chapter just a little earlier. Listen. "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." What in the world? 5,000 people? I'm sure in that crowd of 5,000, they were some drunkards and prostitutes and wicked people, maybe even murderers and thieves. And here they come and they give their heart and life to Jesus, and they hear the preaching, and they hear the powerful name of Jesus, and they get gloriously saved. And then the rulers and even the religious rulers and all those in hierarchy, they say and they demand, and it grieved them and pricked their heart. Not necessarily over the resurrection, not that they were preaching about the resurrection or preaching anything, but when they included that name, they're preaching in Jesus' name. That's what grieved them. Can I say much ain't changed in our world today? The world ain't mad at religion. As long as you're willing to get up and say, "All roads lead to heaven, Allah will get you there, Buddha will get you there, you'll be fine, you'll be included," but you want to get in the exclusive crowd, you want to be marked out and ridiculed and called crazy, then speak up and speak loud and say, "There's but one way to heaven, and His name is Jesus." That message is still hated. I say it's an exclusive name. It didn't bother them that they were preaching about heaven. It didn't bother them what they were preaching, except for the fact they were preaching about Jesus. You know this verse, but John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Whether it makes us popular or not, there's but one name that can deliver man from his sin. I don't care how many, Joel Osteen was interviewed by Larry King on TV. Untold millions of people watched that interview. And even Benny Hinn got up and blasted Joel Osteen and said, I'd have punched him in the face if I'd have been in his presence for getting up and saying that there's more than one way to heaven. That's what happened to Benny. He got mad. Because even Benny Hinn had enough sense to know. You don't get up and give people a false hope that they can get to heaven in any other way. There are not three, four, or more ways to heaven.
That's right.
No, there's one, and his name is Jesus. He didn't say, I am one of the ways, or I am a way. He said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's an exclusive name. I'm glad, though it's an exclusive name, it's inclusive to anyone. Hear me and hear me well. I am a whosoever will, let him come preacher. I am a whosoever will, let him come Bible believer. I do not believe God picked you to go to heaven and you to go to hell. I do not believe that it's already predetermined before the foundation of the world that God's going to send some to hell and ain't nothing in the world they can do to change that. No, Jesus died for the world. He shed his blood for the world, the Bible said. And he said, whosoever will, let him come.
That's right.
He will in no wise turn them away. Listen to me.
Amen.
It's an exclusive name, but it's inclusive to whoever will come and call on that name. You say, but I can find a verse in the Bible that says that he chose this or he chose these. For every verse you can find, I can find you 100 that says, whosoever will. I ain't found a Calvinist yet who thought they wasn't included and chosen. Ain't it funny? Ain't it funny how they're always in the crowd of the ones God chose? I ain't found one Calvinist yet who believes, well, God picked me to go to hell. Gotta hate that. Gotta be dumb as a box of rocks to think God picks people to go to hell. If he let his son die and shed his blood for the world, you think he's gonna pick you to go to hell? The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. So if he's willing that all should come, how did he choose some not to come? Your 2 + 2 don't equal 4. I don't care if you don't. You must have common core math or something. Common core theology. No, he died for the world. He's not willing that any should perish. It's an inclusive name. It's an exclusive name, but inclusive to anyone who will come, whosoever will. Red, yellow, black, or white. Ain't you glad? Rich, poor. Don't matter your history, don't matter your background, don't matter how bad you've been, how good you've been. 880, blind or crazy, God will take you if you'll come and call on his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. So, it's an exclusive name. Number two, it is an excluded name. Look at verses 14 and on. And beholding... I'm talking about excluded. That name Jesus will get you excluded. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The world don't mind you talking about religion, but when you mention that name, automatically it excludes you and puts you in a camp and a category that's different from the rest of the world. It's a damnable heresy. It's a terrible, wicked doctrine that says you can get to heaven your way and I can get to heaven mine. That is the predominant message that is being pushed around the world by men who stand up in sanctuaries and in cathedrals and even in churches, and they're saying, you can get to heaven your way. You know why that has become so popular and being pushed so much? I'll tell you why. Because they don't want to be in the excluded crowd. They want to be included. They want to be part of, they want to rise to the higher echelons of religion. And I'm telling you, I believe there'll be a hotter part of hell for any person who says that they're a preacher or say that they're going to get up and proclaim the Word of God and they get up and they say to people and damn them to hell by telling them there's other ways to heaven. Get there your way and I'll get there mine. I'm here to tell you, exclude me if you want to. Call me old-fashioned if you want to. That Bible's old-fashioned. Jesus is old-fashioned. The only way to heaven is old-fashioned. I'd gladly identify. There's not but one way. And His name's Jesus. But don't think if you take that stand you won't be excluded, because you will. Look at, just to go further, chapter 5, listen to this. Verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, listen, and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy. Listen, after being threatened with their life, after being beaten to a bloody pulp for speaking the name. Listen to their response. Talking about being excluded, it's a name that will exclude you. Listen to their response. And they departed from the presence of the council, not bellyaching and moaning like most of us would be. Can you believe they whooped us and scourged us? Can you believe we got excluded? Can you believe they treated us that way? That wasn't their mentality or language at all. They said, and they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Boy, couldn't we use a dose of that? Rejoicing over being beaten, counting it worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The scourging didn't stop them. The strong language didn't stop them. Them being told they couldn't do it wouldn't stop them. Why? Because they knew it was a name above all other names. It was the precious, powerful name of Jesus. And there wasn't enough whips in Jerusalem or out of Jerusalem that was going to stop their mouths from rejoicing, preaching and teaching and witnessing about that name. rejoiced over it. Come here a minute. We have a bad day in 2023, and we won't even show up for church. Well, I got a hangnail. Well, I got a headache. Well, my wife said something to me, or my husband smarted off and we had an argument. Guess we just won't go. If I didn't go to church every time I had an argument with my wife on Sunday morning, y'all wouldn't have a preacher. We'll get along good all week. Come Sunday morning, fireworks. Let me rephrase that. Atomic bombs. It blows to smithereens. Why? Because the devil tries his best to stop it. I'm simply saying, and I mentioned this the other day, but you go to work with a headache. You go to, it's allergy season, pollen falls, we get the sniffles, I cut a bunch of grass yesterday. Listen, my whole head's clogged up right now. You know what I did? I blowed my stinking nose and come on and preach this morning.
Yeah.
I got an allergy headache, but that name's more important to me than finding an excuse to stay out and lay out. After all, I promise you this, he did way more for me, Brother Ned.
Yeah. Amen,
brother. He endured the shame. He went to the cross after being beaten and smitten, buffeted black and blue. My, what a contrast. And these men rejoiced to be counted worthy, to be beaten, and carry the shame of speaking his name. Couldn't we all learn a lesson from that? Next time the devil hops on your shoulder and whispers in your ear, well, you know, that's a headache and it's probably going to turn into a migraine. Best thing you can do is lay down. And Brother Jackie, I didn't say that because you had one the other day. I've had them, and they legit. If it's a migraine, a real one, I ain't talking about these fake ones. I ain't talking about one of aspirin to fix. I'm talking about one where you got to get in a dark room and forbid anybody from coming in there. Yeah. God knows, and I ain't your judge. I started preaching this morning on the Bema Seat judgment, or how we're going to give an account for the deeds done, good or bad, in their body. Boy, these flimsy excuses we come up with, they're going to be burnt like wood, hay, and stubble. And I'm just simply saying, you ain't got to tell me, oh, preacher, I'm telling you, I was a sick, good night alive. I had this sickness. I mean, it made coronavirus, took its tail and run. It was so bad. Oh. I didn't want to spread that. No, you didn't want to put your shoes on and put some clothes on and get to church.
Yeah.
Y'all still out there? Look for a reason and an excuse to come, not for a reason and excuse to stay home. This is my rule. It's burnt. I know this is a pet peeve of mine, and I'm going to say it in front of God and the whole wide world web. If you can go to work tomorrow, you should have been at church today, and I hope you're watching.
Amen.
You say, well, you just said that Wednesday night, and I'll probably say it tonight, next week, and the week after that. Burns my hide. Oh. Y'all look like y'all about had all that you can take. Listen at the contrast, these men, Acts 5:41, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They was basically saying, this man that we're speaking and preaching about, this man Jesus, has suffered more for me, bled for me, mocked for me, spit on for me. He's done so much more for me than I could ever do for him. So if that requires me being excluded, if his name requires me being excluded, exclude me. If his name pushes me in the out crowd and causes me to suffer shame, then let me suffer shame. Because I'm not shutting my mouth when it comes to speaking and preaching and singing and witnessing his name. Number three, it's an exclusive name. It's an excluded name. It's a name that has expectations attached to it. Listen to 2 Timothy. You don't have to turn it. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There's some expectations to naming his name. God said, if you're going to use my son's name, I'm going to hit this and move fast, I promise. I ain't going to even preach the rest of this. But listen to me. Hey, how many of y'all seen the three red dots on the building down the road being put up? The ABC store. Y'all see that? Ain't that a crying shame? How many Christians you heard speaking up now against that? Made me sick to my stomach when I saw that. I said, my goodness, if Packlet ain't got enough problems. Listen to me. Jesus is God's son, right? There, God's got some expectations when we name his son's name. When we say we are Christians, God expects us to act like it. Just to make my point, y'all do know what I'm talking about, the liquor store they opened up down here? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ain't been there, have you? No, I hope you hadn't. Listen. How would you feel, just to drive the point home? I'm talking about God expects, there's some expectations to naming his name. Brother David, how would you feel if you rode down through Packlet this week and right on the front of that liquor store, it said David Burroughs ABC Store. Tony Kerrigan's Liquor Store. Kevin Roper's ABC. Would that not make you ticked off? Jolly's Cricket Store. Not Jolly's Cricket. We sell crickets and bait. No. Brother Jeff, if you rode by Packlet on your way home and you saw Jennifer Gibson's Liquor Store, would that not tick you off? Wouldn't you be wanting to find out who put that name up there? I'm like, Jennifer, what are you doing? No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to make some money, honey. No, I'm just kidding. My point in saying that is, if I rode down the road and it said Rochester's Liquor Store, somebody would have robbed my name without permission. Somebody would have took my name and falsely advertise and use my name or yours. Could you imagine how that would feel? And yet, God said, if we name the name of Christ, I expect you to depart from iniquity. Because we walk around with a billboard saying, Christ, we're Jesus's, we're Christians. And then we go doing things that Jesus would never do. just like you would never put your name on that liquor store. But Christians, we feel like, well, we can do what we want to. We're saved and head to heaven. No, the Bible says you are not your own. You've been bought with a price, and you name the name of Jesus. Some of you are going places that Jesus would never go. Go hang out with people and they drinking and partying and smoking and doping and hey, are you listening? Man. Just imagine next time you do that, you putting his name falsely and robbing it because he wouldn't be there. And God said, if you name his name, I expect you to walk different. Amen. I expect you to be some places like church when the doors are open. I expect you not to be some places that he wouldn't be. I expect you not to let things come out your mouth that he wouldn't say. These expectations. Then finally, it's an exalted name. We didn't read these, but it's worth reading again. God, who being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of that, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and the things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This world, I'm done. This world cusses his name more and more. I'm hearing on TV. Does that amaze you? Like stuff they will say on TV these days? On the news, they'll be cussing. And saying, take it. This is free, it won't cost you nothing. But this happens in my house, and I've been having to deal with it. Me and Jenny have been having to deal with it. My children listening. Lola, Ellison. Where's Laurel? Laurel, you look up this way. When you say G's, or gee whiz, you know what that's short for? Jesus. Ain't the devil sly? God. Well, golly. You know what that's short for? That's short for God. Do you know? You say, oh, you just being petty. Gosh. Here it is. Done got huge. OMG. Y'all heard of that? See, young people, I'm up to date. Listen. I had gray hair until yesterday. I got it cut off. Ain't I looking suave? I'm just kidding. Listen. OMG, oh my, I can't even say it. But I tell my girls, I say, hey, you don't say that. You don't say that. Let me tell you why. Do you know, listen to me, before you leave here thinking I'm petty, do you know when the writers and the people who would take the Bible and they were just copying it, holy men of old were given, but then when they were just writing, when they would come to the word Elohim or Jehovah, any name of God, they would put their pens, their quill and paper down. They would step back and they would go and bathe and wash their hands and then go back and be completely clean before they would even write the name God in the right context. And we use it so loosely. Yeah. And it's a bad habit, and it's easy to let that, you hear it everywhere. And we would be repulsed if we heard somebody say, take the Lord's name like you know what I'm talking about, G-D, that. Wouldn't you be just like, oh, I heard that on the news twice this week.
Yeah.
On Fox News. I mean, they won't let them say certain words that I heard my grandma say when I was a kid. But they'll let them say that and not blink an eye. They'll get fined thousands of dollars for using a word. But don't bat an eye. But my point is, if we hear that, taking the Lord's name in vain, like, I don't even like to say, even spell it or nothing, it's repulsive. But we don't think nothing because we've been dumbed down and desensitized because it's everywhere when we hear people say, geez, or God, or... And we need to retrain our minds. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds.
Yep. That's right.
Amen. It's an exalted name. Y'all heard that song? I wouldn't dare sing it. I wouldn't dare sing it. But it says there's a name above all others. It's wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus. It's evermore the same. What a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. It's sweeter than all the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim. What a lovely name. He'll return in clouds of glory. Saints of every race shall behold His face. And with them will enter heaven's city evermore to claim. What a lovely name. There's just something about the name Jesus. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take Your word. Help us all, Lord, to cherish Your name, to adore it, to be willing, as the disciples did, the apostles did, to count it a worthy cause, to be shamed and excluded and even persecuted, Lord, to name the name of Jesus. Help us not to back down, back up, Lord, or slow down or quieten down. But Lord, help us now more than ever. This world needs to hear the name Jesus. And I ask You, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's lost, never known You, never known the name, that name that can save, that name that can forgive their sins and make them fit for heaven, I pray You'd save them today, that they'd call upon Your name. You said salvation is nigh thee. Confession's made with our mouth. Believe in our heart. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, you still toting around your sin, and you still at enmity with God, you still abiding under the condemnation of God, all you have to do is come and call on His name, and immediately He'll save you.